supposed to wait till after the person speaks to know if they're worthy of a clap. No, it's good to be here. I enjoy being at Spruce Lake. A lot of fond memories. And yeah, hopefully we can make some this morning here together. I like it when the crowd's involved. And so if you were here yesterday, you know that. I ask questions. I ask opinions. I ask insights. Because I believe that not one person has a corner of the market of biblical insight, that the Holy Spirit has been given to all of us, has given us all past experiences for a purpose, and that's so that collectively we come together. So I will be asking questions, some of them rhetorical, most of them not. So we'll be shouting out answers, we'll be diving into, we'll be having some fun together, hopefully, this morning. And it's Memorial Day weekend, and so yesterday we started talking about remembering good news and how just being at Spruce Lake reminds us of good news. Just by simply looking around, observing, asking questions, we can kind of be brought back to this idea of good news. And when I say good news, I mean good news in the complete totality of the sense. So good news is that there is a good and awesome God eternally existent in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this good and awesome God rules and reigns and welcomes us into his kingdom through his Son. Or you can just simply think of it as good news is anytime we experience a piece of his kingdom breaking through into our reality. So for example, this morning we all experienced a piece of good news when somebody went and opened those side garage doors. Because what happened once those doors were opened up? Yeah, there was some breeze coming through. You're feeling refreshed. You're like, oh, this is so much nicer. It's not so stuffy. Feel that breeze. Oh, it was so nice. Right? That's good news. Amen. It's a piece of good news flowing through. So keep that in mind as we think about what is good news. See, being refreshed is good news in America. Right? How do I know this? Well, listen to some of these recent workplace studies. Over 3/4 of professionals in America feel stressed by unmanageable workloads and lack of time to get everything done. 3/4 of professionals. Another 3/4 of workers experienced burnout just last year. 3/4. That means some in this room are a part of that 3/4 that experienced burnout last year. 95% of employees report feeling external pressure to overwork. Those are some staggering numbers. So being refreshed would then be good news to 3/4 to 95% of the people you come in contact with. So here's some question for you. And I don't know, is this remote going to work today? Should I try it? Nope. And click. What do you all find refreshing? Shout out, what's refreshing to you? Spruce Lake, cold water. Ice cream.
Pickleball.
Strawberries, watermelon. Swimming pool. What was the one from back there? God's word. Awesome. Yeah, I find some things pretty refreshing. I like to go on bike rides. I find bike rides refreshing. I have a road bike that I ride with my kids. We got gravel bikes we go on. Volleyball, anyone? Who gets refreshed by volleyball? Yeah, I love playing volleyball, getting out there. Here's the question, though, with all these. How long, and I know somebody very much closely here that is fondly refreshed by boats. I'm Mark. Got a shout out to Mark. But how long does that time of refreshment last? Is it like, oh man, I'm really hot, so drink a cup of cold water and you're good for 4 days? No. That ice cream feels pretty refreshing. So you eat a little bit too much of it, then you actually feel the opposite of refreshed. And you're just like, oh, right? And so we actually refresh ourselves into a state of unrefreshment. That's fun. And I actually wonder if we as people struggle with how to really refresh anyway. A strange phenomenon has kind of swept across our country that I've noticed over the past five-ish years or so is when I kind of started hearing about it, is people would go on vacation and you would say, how was vacation? Ah, it was all right. It was pretty good. Yeah? Yeah, but I feel like I need a vacation from my vacation. Who's ever heard that or said that? What? I thought that was the point of vacation. You'd go away to be refreshed, not to dream about going back to work. But most like, I need to be refreshed. I need to be vacation from my vacation. So I guess that wasn't very refreshing. So perhaps we aren't that good at knowing what truly refreshes. We have ideas of what we think. So we're going to turn to God's word and find maybe from someone or somewhere else some guidance on how to best be refreshed. So if you have a Bible, you can open up with me. We're going to be in Isaiah 40. And I invite you to join me there. Isaiah 40. I'm going to read verses 9 to 11 and 27 to 31. And if you're like, what about all the other verses? Well, we covered most of those other verses yesterday. So I now know that that's available online. So if you wanted to listen to that, go for it. If not, and maybe better yet, just read those other verses for yourselves because they are amazingly good verses, relevant to today and to everyone in here. And so we're going to read these verses together and see what we find out from the Lord. So here we go, 9 to 11 and what did I say? 27 to 31. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Oh, Jacob, verse 27, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Or some of your translations maybe say, but those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. So first thing I want to point out here, slide change please. What are some reasons to listen to the Lord? Right, I understand a majority probably, or a good portion, you know who God is. But let's still talk about this. Like, why? What are some reasons we just heard that we should listen to the Lord? Yes? I gotta get closer. Because he made it all? Because he's a sovereign creator? That was well worded. Anybody else? He's trustworthy. But how do we know he's trustworthy? He has our best interests in heart. How do we know he has our best interests in heart? Went right for it. Just going right to the Jesus card. But in Isaiah 40, how do we know? He renews our strength. My little friend over there, he said the first one, because he's sovereign. Right? That's why he's worthy to be listened to. He's sovereign. Sovereign, maybe we go, yeah, I hear that word all the time. I don't actually really know what it means. I just know it's one of them big words you use that sort of seems to trump all other words. Like, yeah, he's sovereign. Well, the dictionary says that it's the supreme ruler possessing ultimate power. Ultimate meaning nothing's close, nothing's greater, nothing's even on the same page. Right? And then I heard someone saying, maybe not in these phrases, but he can be, why listen to him? Because he's a shepherd. Right? He's a sovereign ruler of supreme power, and yet it says he'll hold his people close to his heart. A gentle caretaker and fierce protector of his people. Which someone over there pointed out, ultimately expressed in Jesus. Right? Because Jesus came and he lived amongst us, the Creator becoming a part of his creation, to die on a cross, to raise from the dead, to ascend on high. He will be a shepherd to his people. It says his understanding cannot be measured. That's amazing to me. We can measure like everything anymore. If we wanted to, we could measure how much water is in that. You call that a lake or spruce puddle? Is that what we're, all right, so spruce puddle, how much water's in there? We could measure that. We can measure how far away the closest galaxy is. Some scientists dare believe that they can measure the entire size of the universe. But not his understanding. We can't measure that. And he never grows weak or weary. Could you imagine that? Never growing weak or weary. Any runners out there? Where are my runners at? There's no way there's not more runners in this room. All right, now you're running. How many, who runs like any marathon runners? You ever run a marathon? There is one. A couple. Which mile is the hardest? That's a great answer. That's what I heard. I've never run a marathon. I'm not quite that crazy. I'm more than content running 5Ks, much more my speed. But I've heard that mile 20 to 22 is when you're most likely to try to convince yourself to stop. Is there this is more just curiosity. This really has nothing to do with anything in Isaiah. But is there a reason those miles are particularly hard? Yeah, because you've already run 20-something. You're like, I have six more. And what you're wondering if you got anything left. Is that part of it? And your body starts telling you, you don't have anything left. Marathon runners, imagine if you could run every mile as fast as whatever your fastest mile is. I don't know, what are you, kind of picking up speed around 7, 8, 9, hitting your fastest, or... All right, imagine you could just set the speed for 4.5 minutes. And every mile you're like, did I do anything yet today? 4.5 minutes, never growing tired or weary. There's this book series my kids and I enjoy reading. It's called Beyonders by Brandon Mole. He writes a lot of really good series, particularly open up a lot of opportunities to talk about spiritual connections, which I found phenomenal over the years. But there's these characters that live in this land of the Beyonders called Drinlings, And these drinlings, when they actually start exercising, like swimming, what a horrible exercise swimming is. It's actually a phenomenal exercise. I'm just really bad at it. And so two laps in, I'm like out of breath, and my whole body feels like it's going to shut down, and I've only swam like 50 yards. But these drinlings, they would jump in the water and start swimming, and as their muscles are worked, they instantaneously grow, and they gain that new strength instead of losing that strength. And so, like, imagine going to the gym, and first time you're working out, you're just kind of curling 10 pounds, and you're like, oh, all right, and you're like, wow, my muscles just got big. All right, I'm going to pick up 20. Hey, this is pretty cool, because the entire time, the exact opposite thing is happening. It's a picture of this idea of a being that is all-powerful and never grows tired or weary. So maybe he's got something we need to know about. If his understanding cannot be measured, if he never grows weak, if he actually cares for his people enough to draw them close, then the words that he says are meant for our good. And so what's his promise if we listen? Well, his promise if we listen, next slide, tells us, you will actually run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Does that sound like a pretty good promise? Who wants to experience that promise? You go, yeah, absolutely, I want that. Well, you gotta wait. Seriously, that actually is the command, right? Wait. The promise is received by waiting. Right? That's what it said. Those who wait on the Lord. You can turn to the next slide again. But here's the thing. What, anyone from this side, what's your opinion about waiting?
We don't do it well.
We don't do it well. Not a big fan. Over here, raise your hand if you are like eager to wait.
No.
Just can't wait to wait. Yeah, me neither. Even when you're waiting for a good reason, like maybe you're out hunting and you're waiting for something to walk by you, it's still like, how much time has it been? 5 minutes. All right, so I'll sit here a little bit longer. All right, we're just not really good at this waiting thing. I remember one time my wife had to have surgery. I'd have something and removed, and so I'm in the waiting room. Anyone ever been there? In the waiting room while a loved one is going under the knife, you're just kind of trying to bide your time, trying to get your mind on other things because you're just waiting. And really, you have absolutely no control over what's going to happen. It maybe is some of the most powerless feeling you can experience. And I think sometimes we think of that kind of situation and we say, well, that's what waiting on the Lord must be then. Just kind of waiting. And so to help us maybe understand if that's the way we should experience this, I'm wondering if there would be a volunteer willing to help me out with something. And for sake of this, I need the volunteer to probably be like a teenager or older. No offense to those not teenagers or older. All right. Yep, all in the back. Come on up. All right. So I'm Chris.
Steven.
Nice to meet you, Steven. All right, Steven, we are going to do some charades. And I'm going to give you some topics. You're going to read it. And we're going to try to guess if we can see what he's acting out. Okay, you ready for that? All right, so that's the first one.
Okay.
You can stand, too. You don't have to sit. Any guesses? Just shout them out. What do you guys think? What was he doing? He was what? He was scaring off a black bear. Did someone say that? All right, they said that. Look at that, they got you. All right, Instagram, selfie. Where's he at? Influencer taking a picture at a coffee shop. We got it. All right, we are good. This is, they're doing pretty good here.
We're getting good. Someone said narcissism.
Yeah, all right, that was a pretty easy one. All right, and then the last one here. Yeah, an eagle soaring. All right, let's give Stephen a round of applause. Hold on, don't go anywhere yet. I got $10. And here's on in pen on the back, good for $10 in Spruce Lake Gift Shop. Yes. Christopher P. Wint signed on behalf of Mark Swartley.
Where's Mark?
I love you, Mark. All right, so I'm going to do that soaring motion again, right? When an eagle is soaring, what's it doing? Is this an eagle soaring? No, that's an eagle flapping. Yeah, it's just kind of, but it... We sometimes go like, oh, but it's not doing anything. No, no, it's doing a lot. It has its wings out. It has its feathers in the right position. It's got, what it's actually doing is waiting on the wind. If the wind and the atmospheric conditions suddenly like just were removed instantaneously, what would happen to that eagle? Like it would be something to see, right? Because it would not go well for that eagle, because that eagle is doing everything it needs to, knowing that something will be coming up against what it's doing. So it's not inactive. It's not even passive. And let's take it a step further. What does an eagle need to do to be able to soar in the first place? It's got to take off. It's got to get in the air. It's got to leave its nest. It's got to flap to get higher in altitude, right? So it's got to do things to actually get into a position to be able to wait on the wind in the first place. It doesn't just sit there in its nest with its eyes closed and go, all right, 1, 2, 3, up, I'm at soaring. It doesn't just sit there in its nest going, boy, I hope I can soar today. I hope the Lord comes along and helps me to soar, but I'll just stay in my nest. Right? That's not how it works. Because the eagle's doing something. And if we want to run and not grow weary, if we want to walk and not faint, we need to wait upon the Lord as well, just like an eagle waits upon the wind. We need to wait upon the Lord. But again, waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. How many people have a Bible? And this is not a shame question. I'm curious how many actually can answer this question. All right, if you didn't have an NLT, which is what I read out of, anyone have a different translation that said something other than trust in the Lord? Trust? Shout out what your Bibles say. Hope. Trust and hope. Okay. Anyone say wait for or wait upon or wait on? Wait for, wait upon. Yeah. The Amplified version goes even further. I don't know if anyone has one of those on them. That's a fun one to read from time to time. It says, who expect, look for, and hope in. Here's the thing that is really helpful anytime you dive into God's word is read other translations, because most times these Greek and Hebrew words have such rich meaning that it's hard to get it in one English word. And so when you get this smattering of words kind of put together, you get a little bit of a different context. Like, oh, wait, you mean waiting upon also has an idea of trusting in, hoping in, waiting for, an expectancy of something to happen. Yes. Oh, well, that's a little bit different than just waiting. Right? It's more like waiting at the start of a race for the light to go red, yellow, green. That driver just sitting there like, well, when it turns green, I guess. No, they're getting everything ready. And that gives us a more well-rounded idea of waiting on the Lord. So what does this look like in the day-to-day? This idea of being refreshed. And that breeze just kind of kicked up like it was on cue right there. Man, how do we feel and experience that breeze consistently? Well, we wait on the Lord best by fully submitting and surrendering to him at all times. Right? That actually is what waiting on the Lord is. Surrendering to him, following his word, submitting to his will, pursuing his ways. It's living out the commands of Jesus. That's how we're refreshed by the good news. Right? The three-word summary of good news, or the gospel I read in a book, said just simply, Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is King. Or you could even say, Jesus alone sits on the throne. And so his word is as impactful and important when our life is going well and when our life's not going well. When things are hard and when things are easy. When we've got conflict and when it feels like everything is going perfect. So how do we wait on the Lord? By loving God with all our hearts and loving our neighbors as ourselves. When we do that, we wait on the Lord. Well, what if my neighbor and I are not seeing eye to eye? What if my neighbor's doing something I really don't like? Jesus didn't say only love your neighbor when he loves you back. Only love your neighbor when she treats you well. Right? To not do it then is to start flapping our wings again and going, I'm taking this into my own hands. Now we're refreshed when we soar. How about outdo one another in showing honor? Really easy when other people are polite and courteous and honoring back. Whole nother story when they're not. I don't know about you, but I see many times in a day where I go, oh, I probably could have shown a lot more honor there. And by probably means, yeah, I could have. Like, oof, that was pretty dishonoring. Whether it's a way I respond to my kids, a way that I respond to a driver that pulls out in front of me and then turns immediately on the next road instead of waiting for me to go by because there was no one behind me. My wife's quick to say they maybe had an emergency they were responding to. Yeah, you're right. Probably not, but okay, you're right. How about encourage one another? Man, that's easy to fall into a trap of competition. Who are my competitors out there? And like, you can just be doing, by the way, who won the cornhole tournament? Oh, that's today. All right. But someone's already claiming it. So that actually works even better. So you're having that cornhole tournament. And who's the, like, champ that everyone wants to take down? Who'd you say to take down yesterday?
The guy you had
up there. Really? That's the guy? All right, so when you guys are taking Steve off of his throne And it's coming down to that last, or Stephen, sorry. And you take that, he's ready to take that last throw, and you're ready to be that person next to him that's just like, bah! Right, last second, like, duh! And then he misses, and you're like, yes. Like, instead, you go, hey, well done, man. That was such a good game. But wow, that gets hard when our competitive juices start flowing, right? Monopoly games become like war. And simple backyard volleyball is like we're going out for the Olympics or something all of a sudden, where every point matters. And or maybe it's a game of Rook. Yeah, that touched a closer nerve. No one here has ever gotten upset about Rook. Failed to encourage the person that just shot the moon and got it. Right, why don't we always say, like, wow, that was amazing. Like, usually it's like, oh, this is rigged. I never get the cards. You always get the cards. Right, but no, that's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is going like, wow, tip my hat to you. That was an amazing hand. Do everything without complaining. It's one of those ones you're like, are you for real? Do you know what it is to be human? And God's like, actually, I do. I do know what it is to take on human flesh. And when my Holy Spirit led Paul to say, do everything without complaining, he actually meant it. And I'm actually filling you with the strength you need to be able to actually live that out. Even on a day when everything goes wrong. Wait on me. I will refresh you. Right? That's the promise that we see here. So as we are reminded of good news, by looking around, by observing, by feeling a breeze, remember, which reminds us of his presence and his goodness, then we refresh ourselves by the good news, by submitting to the one who gave it in the first place, Jesus. And this refreshing causes us to soar like eagles. Interesting, I did some Google searching, so I don't even know if this is legit or not. You all smarter people can tell me if it's real or not. But I found three reasons that an eagle soars. An eagle will soar for hunting. That one's probably the one that we're all like, yep, that one, all right, yeah. And what are they doing? They're soaring. They're kind of waiting. They're conserving energy so that what? So, yep. So that they, yeah, the moment they see that beautiful fish, it's right to send them into action. So they're soaring for a purpose. But they also do it for migration, often when they're migrating. In order to go long distances, to be able to make the journey that's before them, they need to soar, because if they flap their wings the whole time, they wouldn't make it. Sounds a whole lot like Paul. Says, you've running a good race, but keep running with endurance. Sometimes when you're running, you slow down a little bit because you have to. Why? So that you can pick it back up again to finish the race. But there's a third reason: to deal with storms. Eagles supposedly are the only known bird that will soar into a storm. Because by soaring into it and taking advantage of the climate and whatever's going on in the atmosphere, it will propel them to higher levels than they could on a clear day. And it rises them up above the storm, where now the storm's below them, and they're soaring on smooth air again. All of these have interesting correlations to life. Maybe you are in a storm. And you're like, no, the last thing I want to do is soar. I need to flap. I need to bail. No, you need to put those wings out further so that you can catch those winds and go even higher than you thought possible, because that's the promise that God says he has for us if we continue to wait upon him. And all of them, whether it's for hunting, migration, or storms, have purposeful action. And the purposeful action for us was said in verse 9, right? All these things, what does it end up leading us to do? O Zion, O people of God, messengers of good news shout from the mountaintops. The purposeful action for the whole reason to soar is to be refreshed so that you and I can continue to be, some of the versions will say, to be heralds of good news, to be messengers of good news, to be mouthpieces of the kingdom and the king to people where we live, where we work, where we study, where we play. So be a messenger of good news with your family and friends. Be a messenger of good news with your neighbors, your coworkers, and your classmates. And we'll experience what Paul says in Galatians 5:9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, which I would then add parenthetically, surrendering to Jesus and proclaiming good news to ourselves and others. Let's not get tired of that, this waiting on the Lord, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So go from here with your wings out, soaring, waiting on the Lord by putting his words, his will, and his ways into action. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful reminder and an amazing promise that you will give us all strength and refresh us. I pray a blessing over all those that are here. Lord, as we feel that breeze coming through, may it be a reminder and a blessing of the strength and the refreshment that you will give us. Only give us greater boldness and courage to keep those wings stretched out and to wait on you in expectancy, trusting that you will do what you say you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.